Hey, what's up, guys? This is Perry with Premier Guitar here in Nashville, Tennessee. Hanging out with the dudes with Saves the Day. Got Rodrigo and our buddy Arun that are going to walk us through their setups. Appreciate you guys doing this. We've had a lot of requests, man, for you guys.
Cool.
So I'm glad we could finally do this and you guys are in town.
Right on.
Well, let's start with this bad boy.
Yeah, so this is my P bass. I've had this P bass since like 1996 or 1997. I believe this guy was born sometime in 1973, or maybe 77. There's a serial number. People that are good at figuring that out figure it out. But yeah, you know, it's my main bass. I've had it for years, you know.
Was it like sanded at some point, like a refin or something, or is that just playing?
I think that's just playing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can kind of tell, like, there the finish is kind of scratched up, probably because I've been keep putting the picks in there, you know? You kind of see it's got... You know, it's got its unique wear.
Have you modified it at all?
Never really modified it. I've had the frets redressed recently. The neck was kind of needing some love, and so now it's on there like really, really solid, so I can jump around and like, you know, the tension on bass strings is so high, you know, when you start really slamming into them, like some of these necks will just start
warping
and moving. And so, yeah, I got this guy like, really, really glued on there by, I should mention his name, Jeff in Chicago. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, right on. So you're only traveling with one backup, right?
Yeah, I only have this. This is the backup, purple J bass. You know.
Newer?
Yeah, it's newer. It does the job.
Does the J thing.
It does the J thing. For me, the J necks are just different feeling than the P-necks.
Yeah, this looks a little more
it's just
chunky.
Like chunky. Yeah. Like I feel like I can like swing in a bat or something.
Totally. You know? What do you got for gauges?
Gauges 105 for the E, and we tuned down to E flat standard.
Is that where you or why you're traveling with a backup, just for that one song or?
Not really. We just, you know, just for when I break a string, which totally. Actually has been kind of happening recently.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, right? Like I like for like 5 years I never broke a string. And then
I've never broken a string in the industry.
Yeah, broken them twice. And I think there might be a burr or something.
Burl or something on there. Yeah.
We'll see.
Crazy. All right. Well, that's easy enough. And then running this Ampeg big boy rig.
Yeah, the Ampeg, the big boy, the 810. You know, nothing quite moves like the column of air. You know, I mean, you can turn up the 410s. You can turn them up and they'll get as loud. But this is just moving like a small human being of air just at your body, which feels awesome, you know, and like for the stage, it just kind of fills it out. Really
are you going
nicely.
For like a super clean bass tone, or are you getting dirt from the amp?
Yeah, there's a little bit of dirt in the amp. Should I?
Yeah, let's hear it. Very round.
Yeah. Round, woody, you know.
Totally.
And then bass tone, something to build on.
Have you had anything done to this mods or anything changed?
No, I've had this guy actually since around the same time, maybe like 97, 96, which was when I first started like seriously playing in bands. So it was just kind of like, all right,
okay,
buy the gear.
Yeah, get the stuff you're gonna use forever.
You know, I think I made a pretty good decision. Like I've had this guy for, I don't know how long. I've gone through a couple of 8x10 cabinets. When I sold the first 8x10 cabinet that I ever bought, like I cried a little bit, you know, it had been with me like all over the US, you know, kind of becomes like a friend in a way.
Yeah, that's your dude.
Yeah. So we've gone through a couple of these, you know, you get the wheels replaced, you know, it's a pretty sturdy
cabinet.
This
one looks like it's been through the war too.
It's seen some time.
Cool.
For sure.
Are these stock speakers or do you ever
stock speakers, as far as I know, I haven't really done anything. This guy, we just got it recently worked on here in town in Nashville.
Retubed or something?
Retubed, new power tubes, 6550s, I believe, six of them. I don't know.
It's a workhorse.
It's a workhorse. It does the job, man.
And so you're coloring that tone.
I'm coloring that tone with a couple pedals. I've toned down the pedals. I used to have a lot more kind of fun stuff, but then I kind of had a realization that
it's kind of hard being bass dude with a bunch of pedals.
It is. It's a fine line. Like I've seen some dudes do it, you know, and I'm not saying that like I was the best at it before. Like I used to have like a synth pedal and like some other like reverb to kind of do some kind of like washy stuff. Textural stuff, but I kind of just was like, maybe I just want gain.
Yeah.
That's all you really need.
So what is this, three different
gain stages. So like we got the full tone overdrive. Kind of your just classic dirt. Kind of
just
breaks
rock and roll, not
just
over
rock
the top.
And roll, yeah. Not over the top. Kind of breaks up a little bit if you really drive into it. It can be. Yeah.
So is that one? Is this a full tone?
This is a full tone. It's got like a little extra,
a little boost,
boost level.
Is this like an always on pedal?
So basically like I have kind of like a clean fingerstyle tone. And that's like level one. That's like,
okay.
For songs that need a little bit more grit, a little bit more teeth, I'll kick that guy on. And that's kind of like, maybe it's on 70% of the time, 50% of the time. Like there are songs that are cleaner.
Sure.
And I'll just have it off. But like for songs that need like the first layer of dirt, that's the guy.
What's level two?
Level two is this guy. It's really a guitar pedal. The Apocalypse, it's called the Apocalypse, but that's been worn down by the apocalypse itself that we're
living. It just rattles the paint right off the pedal.
Rattles the paint.
Let's hear that sucker.
This guy's gnarly. I really love this guy. Yeah.
And then the last is a Greer, huh?
The last is a Greer. This is kind of like
level
3. It's kind of like level 2B, I guess. Level 3 in a way.
It would seem funny to me to have the Greer pedal as the total sonic annihilation.
Yeah,
or do you ever stack these?
Sometimes I stack them with the overdrive a little bit. Kind of experimenting, you know, there's some songs that need that like extra level 3, if you will. Mostly it's just kind of like I discovered that what I like in gain pedals for bass is kind of how they compress the note.
Sure.
They'll change the envelope a little bit. Like some of them will have like a little bit thicker, like low end compression. And some of them will have more of like the teeth where like kind of like the more that you dig into it, it'll kind of like cut off some of the dynamic in a really pleasing way. But mostly they kind of like, these kind of just do different things to the note, like in terms of the sustain, like the first overdrive kind of like lets it decay a little bit. These other ones are more sustaining, almost like synth-like to me.
Gotcha.
And this one has a really, for like fuzz pedals, bass, the quest is always getting something that adds those overtones, but doesn't suck away
the low end waves.
You know what I mean? It's just kind of multiplying frequencies. You're gonna lose some low end, but.
Let's hear that bad
this
boy.
Guy, yeah.
It's a little angrier. Yeah, it's got some teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got some low end, so like it's very synthy, kind of very compressed sounding.
Yeah.
So I got some of that, the teeth. Some of these combined, you know, it just ends up.
Yeah, it gives it almost like a fuzz kind of vibe.
Yeah, super fuzzy. Like it's good for kind of like some sustainy things. I do a couple of like kind of bass chordy.
How much of the set are you on pick, and how much are you on fingers, or do you just?
It depends on the song. I want to say maybe I'm like 70% pick.
Okay.
30% fingers. It just kind of depends on the song. There's some songs that are more like eighth notes, kind of. Easier to do with the pick. There are other songs that are like kind of fancier, faster runs.
That's Fenders. Yeah.
Right on. All right, just so we can say we did our due diligence, what picks are you using? You
going heavy? So I use a green Tortex.
Yeah, I love those guys.
Yeah, green guys.
Yeah.
They're not too heavy, you know. I mean, you know, I don't know what, you know, I feel like everyone just kind of settles on picks that they kind of start with.
I agree. Way, yeah, I think the like picks that I play are like you probably like the first picks that I have.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, like this one just has the right amount of give.
You're
I
used
guess.
To it, yeah.
Yeah, you just kind of get used
that
to
familiarity
it.
Familiarity is probably the yeah. most important part of it. For sure.
Yeah.
Well, hell yeah, Rodrigo. Thank you for taking the time to walk us through this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm gonna talk to Arun and see how he does get some guitar magic going. And stoked for the show. See you tonight.
Thanks, man.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, now we're over here at the Guitar Boat with Arun. Arun is my homie and my neighbor.
Yeah.
Which is cool. Do any of the other bandmates live here in Nashville?
Just me.
Just you?
Yeah.
How do you like it?
I love living here.
Yeah,
you know, I've been here
six
and a half years now, so you know, I get to hang out with people like you.
Yeah, it rules. You know, so. Well, let's go through some of these guitars, because I typically see you with Fender stuff, but you got a couple of Gibbies in here, which is
cool. Yeah, so I guess my main axe these days is this guy. It's a 64 American Vintage reissue that I got a couple of years ago.
Love the anodized plate. That's so
yeah, it's sort of my thing with, I tend to find finishes that look good with the gold anodized pickguards. I don't know, just this aesthetic thing. Like I have a Jazzmaster with one, a couple other Tellies. But I modded it pretty heavily.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so like, you know, Bigsby's on a Telly is my favorite thing in the world. You know, people are always like, does it stay in tune? I was like, I don't know. I beat it like it owes me money, and it seems to work out well for me. So,
oh, I'm sure the mastery sounds
that definitely helped. So this is like a newer thing he started doing, I think, within a couple of years, where it's not just the bridge piece, but it's the whole tray, and it just looks so much slicker. But
is it the same holes and everything? It fits right over the pickup?
Yeah.
Easy.
It's awesome.
That's super easy.
It's super awesome. The pickups I changed, these are Lindy Fralins.
Yeah.
There's just stock Tele ones. I don't know, I just like the lowest output pickups because I get more fight out of it. It's more about like...
You gotta work for it.
I gotta work for it a little harder, so...
So this is...
And I just turn my amp up.
Is this a Fralin stock neck Tele pickup?
That's cool. But he started doing this... Ooh, it's a
little different, yeah.
Started doing this thing where he removes the tops and then he added this like the nickel around it, but the exposed coils seem to help making it more Strat-like. Because, you know, Tele neck pickups can... They're like kind of unusable in a lot of ways.
A lot
of
times,
yeah. So
sure.
This makes it gives it a little more sparkle. So I can actually do like the cool like fuzz tone thing that you can do on a Strat.
Big round.
Yeah, yeah. So
is this a typical three-way?
Yeah.
Cool.
I just wanted it like pretty simple. I like vintage designs. Like the neck on here is like a baseball bat, which I love. I was playing an American Deluxe for years and years, and but yeah, this has become my main one. It's been chipping a lot, but I guess that's kind
of
cool,
yeah, that's part of the charm.
I think it's just part of this finish. Like it's just like, I don't know if you can see it. It's
is
like
it
this kind of like see-through.
Nitro?
It's I think they call it.
It seems thin, like way
it's really thin. Yeah, I don't think it's a lacquer. So, yeah. But
well,
I just noticed it. Noticed it. Sort of, I mean, but I guess that's cool. So
I think that's really cool. So are you on?
Not
this,
that precious about it.
Are you switching guitars like quite a bit throughout the set, or is this something that you're on?
I would say I'm
while.
On this about 80% of the
really?
Set. Yeah.
Cool.
And so the other guy, the other Fender that I brought, because normally I would bring a bunch of Tellies, but I just wanted to do something different. So right before the tour started, we used the Strat on the new record a lot. And I haven't owned a Strat since I was like a little kid. So I just, you know, Fender was kind enough to get me one of these American originals.
Ah.
And I haven't really done anything to this yet, although I am going to put the Fralin Vintage Hots in here. And I'll probably keep the pickguard the same since it just
already looks cool.
That like kind of weird minty seafoam green thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I use this occasionally. Yeah.
It's a good looking rig.
How
different is the trim compared to your Bigsby? Is that something that throws you off?
It does. It's taken a minute to get used to. I'm still figuring it out. I think I'm going to add two more springs in the back too to give it a little more
flight.
Tension. Cause I'm using 11 to 52s on here.
Oh wow.
So, yeah.
Is that with a wound third?
No.
Okay.
No. Can't bend with those.
Man, same deal. I always have that trouble.
I tried that for a while. And I have some for the studio that I use because they do keep that G in tune. Yeah. But I don't know. I think I'm just old dog trick, new tricks thing.
Ooh, look at this 335.
And so, yeah, this gets used a lot in the set. So this is a 71 that has been part of the Saves the Day family for a long time. And it...
Dude, that thing is clean.
We have this. We have Chris owns a 68. That's a beautiful one. This one was always like kind of unimpressive.
Really?
We had the Kalamazoo, like the embossed, Gibson embossed things, and it just
didn't do it.
I had some 57 classics lying around from an old Les Paul that I had, and put them in here, and then until this like new record, when we made the new record, I started just using this a lot, and it just sort of came alive in this
sort of
weird,
yeah.
So, like sort of, we were all just like, wow. That sounds amazing.
They're a funny guitar because it's kind of like a Strat in a weird way that it does its own. It has a very specific voice, you know.
So it's been cool, like just playing a humbucker guitar again, and just I like semi hollow bodies a lot. And
are you having any trouble with feedback on small stages or not a ton? Cool.
Not thing I'm terribly.
Yeah, because you're not
about.
Like crazy fuzzed out or super high gain most of the time anyway, right?
I mean, I do kick on fuzz pedals, but I think that the feedback I want from that is pretty intentional.
Gotcha.
Yeah,
so I'm guessing you're playing that on songs like maybe from like In Reverie.
I use it
like
on
that.
A couple of new songs actually.
Oh, really? Cool.
I think there's two new songs that I use it on, and then one song from Sound the Alarm.
Cool.
And then and just sort of depends. Like sometimes I look over to our guitar tech Regan, I'll just say, yeah, hand me that one.
Yeah, that rules.
But you know, majority of the set is this Tele, just because.
Yeah, that thing's slick. Dude.
It just feels like, you know, I can get through anything with it. Like, yeah. It's like I can get through any type
man,
of show.
Man, you got
like.
Pretty high action.
You
are trying to fight that thing, huh?
that rules. It's like this.
Cool. Well, should we go look at pedals?
Let's
and
go look
and,
at some other
amps?
Stuff. Yeah,
cool.
Totally.
All right, Arun. Couple of amps up here.
Yep.
Cool. Super you've had for a while, right?
Super I've had for, I'd say, 12, 13 years maybe. Bought it off a friend. In a previous band that I was playing in, and it's just been with me. It's just it's a reissue. I've done a lot of mods to it.
Ooh,
but it's
really?
It's cool. Like one of the first things I did was I upgraded the transformer. I put a Mercury Magnetics in there.
Oh.
When I say I did, I just come up with these. I have people do this.
Was that how big of a noticeable difference was that?
Because I've massive. I've
so
gave
curious.
It like it made it like more 3D sounding. I don't know how to describe it. Like it was just it
changed
was noticeable,
the spectrum.
And I. A-beat it just to make sure it wasn't some like placebo effect or something, but no, it's noticeably better.
Did you record a little bit, have it done, and then record a little bit to be able
I just
to
played another
oh,
super
you had another
that
one?
Was
okay,
just,
cool,
yeah.
It's clean.
It's great, yeah. So then I did it, so the couple other mods I did were, you know, the old like Stevie Ray Vaughan trick that he would do to his vibraverbs. So the normal channel is completely disconnected, and so is the vibrato circuit. So like, even though I'm not using them, like there would be current running to it. So I had them, I had like, bypass it. So now when I plug in a vibrato one, I have it on 3 right now, but it's actually like what it would sound at like 5 or 6.
Ah.
Like it just, it helps just like.
So it gives you a hotter signal?
Yeah, it just unloads the amp. So it's just, it breaks up quicker. I also replaced the speakers. I have four, it's a 410, so there's Webers in there.
Oh, cool.
Two Alnicos and 2 ceramics.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. So,
that's
like,
cool,
you know,
did
yeah.
Did you do a cross pattern or are they top?
No,
bottom?
It's top bottom.
Cool. What are, so, when you're miking, you're going bottom.
I have been on this tour. I don't know why. We just
what
did
do you
it hear, and it sounded good.
Different in the two speakers?
Oh, I think the ceramics got a little more like body, and the Alnico it seems to have some of the top that I like, the
so
chimey.
Good mix.
Yeah, yeah.
Two,
like,
yeah.
You know, that's why Alnico sound good in Voxes, like a Blue or something.
And then the Deluxe.
So the Deluxe, this is one of the 68 vintage modified reissues, which I got for some other tours I was doing where I just needed a smaller amp. And I just happened to bring it on this tour as like a spare. I was using, Fender makes those hand-wired tweeds,
mm-hmm.
and I had the 57 Pro that has the 15-inch speaker. For the first part of the tour, I was using the 15 with the
410s, yeah, that's kinda cool.
Which was awesome, but I blew up the speaker.
Ah.
So, and I haven't gotten the replacement yet. So I've been just running this, but it's cool. Like, I love what they did with these. Like, I haven't modded this at all. Like, this custom channel is like based off a Bassman circuit, and they put like really nice like Schumacher transformers in there. So. And I was like, you know, they put a Celestion speaker in there. At first I was like, oh, that's weird, but it's cool.
And is
like,
this
I like it.
112?
It's 112, yeah.
Cool.
So it's, you know, I like the other thing about the Pro, I'd like 6L6s, just,
totally.
You know, because it's a little more punch. But I got this dialed in pretty cool now. Like, so it hasn't, like, it took a couple of shows, but
you're running
like
them both together all the time,
yeah, it's
right?
always in dual mono.
Gotcha.
I'm too lazy for any other kind of weird switching, so I just like just pile it on.
All right, well, before we dive into pedal world, can we just hear the amp, just straight amp?
Oh, without any distortion? Because I always have like an always on pedal, that's part of the
thing.
If
it's always on, I guess let's start.
It's loud as hell.
It's loud as hell, but it sounds really good. That's a very American sounding tone you got.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's crazy cool.
Born in Detroit. So.
What's the always on pedal?
It's the Zvex Double Rock.
Is it a box of rock with two?
It's basically two box of rocks in one, and I have both are set to box like what do they call it? The Distortron thing. So I have one that I use for the Fenders, and then one I'm using
for
the Gibson, where I just need a little more treble.
Right.
So sometimes I'll set it to a boost, but on this I've been just using it as just like an A and a B for different guitars. So just different outputs and stuff.
Oh, crazy. That's a good way to
do that. Totally. Yeah. So, and the cool thing is like I can, you know, the board's easy to travel with. I can get this backline anywhere if I'm doing like, we're doing like a one-off
that's
or
handy.
Something.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it's cool. Like I'm just, anytime I try going to like try some other like boutique thing or whatever, I just come back to this.
Yeah.
I'm just like, this is just cool. It's classic.
And it sounds
great. It looks good.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Speaking of boards, that
really
sucker is clean. Did you build that?
Thanks. I did not. My friends at Eastside Music Supply here in Nashville, in East Nashville, built it.
These guys are great. Killer shop. If you guys
they
are
ever
in Nashville,
check them out. Highly recommend going there if you like cool things.
Cool.
It's been a solid board. We went through a couple of iterations before we got to this, but now it's in a really good spot.
Cool.
So.
All right, let's walk me through your chain, and we'll take a listen to these bad boys.
Okay. So basically, at the end of the chain is the double rock. So basically, I wanted it to act like it was part of the amp.
Sure.
So it's always on. Like, I rarely, like, and, like, the thing about it, like I can
it
control
cleans
it with
up.
I can control it with dynamics pretty well. Like, if I roll the volume off a little bit, it cleans up. I don't like pristine cleans, so... I always like a little bit of grit.
That seems
to work out really well, especially in this band, but most things I do, it's kind of how I roll. I go into these fuzz pedals, and I went through a lot of fuzz neurosis before I arrived.
Oh,
where
it's
I
a wormhole,
am.
My man.
Yeah, it sucks. I still, you know, still like in the middle of a show, I'll be like, oh, maybe I'll get this one. I'll try this tomorrow or something, you know. But so the first one is the Hoof Reaper, which is made by Earthquaker.
Yeah.
And it's a hoof and then a tone reaper and octave up, the octavia, the tentacle, I think they call it.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
like
sorry.
That's like sort of my, you know. That's my main fuzz that I use on like leads and
dude,
stuff.
Dude, that works great with
it's cool,
Z-Max.
Right? Yeah,
really
yeah.
Good.
They stack. That's the thing about it. Everything stacks very nicely together. So the other side is the hoof, which is more big muff-ish. So like for like. Sometimes I'll do
more
cool shit where
stuff.
I add the octave up and it's monophonic. So like it just does like this. So I can
do my slightly gated, but it has that thing.
So it helps me do my best Hendrix ripoff.
Nice.
That's what most of these help me do. this is an Analog Man BC-183, which I think Analog Man makes the best fuzzes.
See those a lot.
I have a germanium one. I have a ton of them. My only issue in this setup right now is I feel like it needs a little more volume. Like you see, I have them like pegged. So
that's weird.
I kind of want to see if I can get it modded to add more volume.
To get it, yeah.
I need some more.
Does you feel like it's when you turn it on, it sucks your?
It's not. It's just
bit?
Yeah. It's just not sitting on top. The way I have everything else gain staged works great, and then when I kick on the fuzz, it doesn't get me over the hump quite as well. But just tonally, it's sick.
Yeah, it sounds like your amp
sounds awesome, man.
Working. Yeah, yeah, that's awesome.
But you can tell it was a lot quieter than just the other ones that I turned on. So from there, I go to the Dunes, which is Earthquaker's take on a Tube Screamer. I always, for years, my setup was a Tele, an old 808, and just a 65 twin reverb. And then as I got more and more into pedals, obviously, then, you know, this happens. But I love a Tube Screamer. I think a Tube Screamer in this in the Fender world of stuff
works.
Is great.
Sits good, huh?
But, you know, I've learned that, like, different rooms have different sort of needs. So, like, I really like that you can take the diode out on here. Actually, I think I have it set to where I don't have the diode in. And then, you know, you can add treble if you need it, or you can make it, like, more full range sounding where it doesn't have the mid hump. It's more like the bass boost.
Sure.
So it just depends on the room, but... it's almost like a clean boost at this point.
Right,
like, it's
right.
Just giving me a little bit of, like, just kind of goosing this a little bit more.
If you roll it back, can it help you boost up that analog, man? Like, do you ever click those on together?
I have done them both together,
just
yeah.
Just to get a little volume out
yeah.
of it, yeah.
But then I always forget to turn one off.
So you're playing...
Actually, it does sound pretty good. Maybe I'll try
good.
That tonight.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for the tip.
Yeah, no sweat.
Thanks for the tip, man.
All right, and then we got some Greer stuff on your board, too.
Yeah, so that's a Sucker Punch, and I got that because, you know, the Box of Rock with the Fender stuff kind of gives me, like, this, like a basement on steroids or,
yeah.
like, a JTM 45, basically.
Cooking. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, like, spongy. It's not, like, a really tight low end, but I like that.
Yeah.
The Sucker Punch kind of gets me into, like... JMP territory.
A little zippier.
Yeah, just like, so something
pointed.
That's, yeah, so like. You know, so it's a little more.
Compressed almost, but it.
Yeah, like, it's definitely a little more compressed.
It has like a, I don't know, I love
just
it. I
a
think
little
that's
more,
a good ass.
He did
song.
A great job with it. It almost feels like you can feel like the resonance you would get from like a 412.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like it's cool.
Nick does good work, man.
Yeah, and a hell of a guy.
Super dude. For sure.
So from there, I stuck a noise suppressor in here tonight because I was getting a little bit of.
Are you getting weird power issues or something?
Yeah, I was getting some buzzing. So from there, I think it goes to the Mel 9, and that's just so we don't have to hire a keyboard player.
Sure. It really does play well with that Box of Rock.
It's great, right?
Yeah.
From there, I go to the Mojo Vibe, which is a Univibe that Sweet sure. Sound makes. And I don't even know if they make these anymore, but I got an expression pedal for it. A lot of fun.
Having expression out is really handy. That's
yeah,
that's
totally.
Awesome.
Again, it's just me being a massive Hendrix and like David Gilmour fan. It's kind of
totally.
What those guys did. And then we get into some more the time-based stuff. So I have this Caroline Kilobyte, which I have this weird thing with delays. If I set it to Ain't Talking About Love, that it works for everything.
For everything.
So I just keep that set to it's set at Ain't Talking About Love. You know, like it's not right now. So it's a magical delay setting.
Hey, that's a fun trick.
Yeah.
Just Van Halen that shit.
Yeah, and then it's got this cool Havoc thing, so like, and you know, I can control it with my. You know, that's
wow.
fun.
So when you were turning, what was actually turning? Was this turning?
No, changing? I was turning
oh,
the
turning
knob with
oh,
my
wow.
foot.
That's cool.
So
it's a momentary hold.
Yeah,
switch,
I hold
basically.
I'll
yeah.
hold the Havoc switch, and then I can just turn the delay time with my foot.
That rules.
Yeah.
Wow, that's.
I don't know if they intended that, but
hey, that works.
That's what I discovered it on accident. I'm like, that's cool. From there, I go to the Chase Bliss Tonal Recall, which I
those
think
those things scare me. They're so
it's worth it.
A spaceship.
It's saved me so much real estate. I had a Diamond Memory Lane on here before, which was a great delay.
Yeah.
And before I had the Caroline, I had one of the Deluxe Memory Man. So, and those were delays I've had for years. So I took somebody to come out with something cooler to bump them up.
Plus, those are huge.
Yeah, totally. The other thing about my board is I like to keep it shoulder width. It's just sort of like, I just sort of set dumb rules for myself. You know, like we were talking about making things harder. So whatever, if I want to add something, got
to
take some shit off.
You're going to have to make a compromise, yeah.
And I like that. It forces me to just get the most out of what I have. But this H9 helps a lot with things where, like if I need a phase for one song, I need a chorus, I need like anything, I can get that. I don't need to have like a bunch of those pedals if I only use it for like one thing here and there. And it sounds really good. The verbs on there though are like sick. Why I got it. Like
the thing is, you know, need a like, college course to learn the whole thing.
I know, I'm still learning it.
That sounds killer.
Thanks, man.
So I've seen a lot of dudes add those bank up and down switches. That is not an Eventide thing, right? It's aftermarket?
No, a Barn 3, I think they're called. Okay. And yeah, it's cool. So then I don't have to use the on-off switch or the tap for any of the banking. Like, so these are just, you can set these for all kinds of things. You can actually set it for a tap or something. And it's even got an out here if I want to have like an external tap or something else. It's cool, but it just gives it a lot more functionality. And and it's just nice like having it right here, you know, just at the end. So
Are you using the buttons that were already on it for on and off and then for tap? And
yeah,
then this
exactly.
For banking?
Cool. Pretty much. Yeah, it's pretty simple. Works. I'm still like getting deep into it. Like I want to get into some weirder things with it, but for now I'm just kind of
they do a lot
using it pretty in a very simple way. But yeah, it's a cool rig. Like it can get, you know. Yeah, I love it. Like I love how simple it is. I can take it anywhere and plug it into any Fender and it's my sound.
And it's gonna sound like that.
Yeah, totally. So
and that's cool. Joel makes these pedals, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, the fave switch really helps. I've noticed that.
Yeah, totally. I haven't really needed it on this tour. I just kind of have like I have a setting that I keep it on, and then I just sort of tap in what time I want. That's cool. You can eat all the parameters on there are expressionable, which is just
that's awesome.
Sick.
And the fave switch allows you to recall presets.
Yeah.
That you've created,
so
right?
and I intended on doing that, and I haven't. Just lazy. So I'll get around to it.
All right, man. So before I let you go, how about like all right on the new record, side by side? There's a ripping ass solo in there. Like, what do you got going on for that?
I think on the solo, I just use the hoof.
Okay.
But live, I've been just using the dunes. I kind of cleaned it up. I didn't fuzz it out. So like
it sounds great on the record.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, it
sounds I don't know.
Really
I think I just kind of started. I don't know. We did that record like in a lot of things were just it was all like impulsive, like off the cuff, like what sounds cool right now. I kind of go back and forth on that solo live, but mostly I've been using the dunes to overdrive it.
Sure.
So it's a little twangier versus like fuzzed out. But like the riff in the song, you know, that's the thing I was telling you about with like the octave up. That's the double rock, the sucker punch, and the tentacle. And then I kick this off, and then it's... It's like total Panama.
Yeah. Man, this turned into... a lot of references I didn't expect today, but it works, man. I appreciate it.
All I talk about is Van Halen, man. You should know that.
I get it, dude. Well, anyway, thank you so much for taking the time. I'm really excited
man.
For the show.
Me
congrats
too.
On the new record.
Thank you so much, bud.
And we'll see you guys soon. Take it easy.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching the latest Rig Rundown. Guess what? Every week, we upload a brand new Rig Rundown to PremierGuitar.com a full week before it's available here on YouTube. So to get your gear fix as soon as humanly possible, go to PremierGuitar.com/rig rundown. And while you're there, be sure to sign up to get an email notification so you're the first to know as soon as each week's new Rig Rundown is available. Cheers, see you soon.